Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at a story from the Book of Kings, and it's the Syrian siege of Samaria.
Okay.
Now, you might be thinking, why this particular story? Why are we focusing on this one? Well, lucky for us, we have a lecture from Dr. John Oswalt. He's a scholar who really knows his stuff when it comes to this era.
Yeah.
He's going to help us unpack it. And this is a story that's full of all these twists and turns, you know?
Right.
A lot to say about faith and divine intervention and, of course, human nature. Always. Right.
It, absolutely. A timeless story, isn't it? It touches on some of those deep questions and challenges that we all face. Even today, I mean, wrestling with fear, with uncertainty, you know, the future, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's all in there.
Exactly. And Dr. Oswalt really encourages us to come to this narrative with questions.
Right.
Like he's suggesting that the reason the story resonates is because it really showcases how God works in unexpected ways. I mean, imagine social outcasts becoming the heroes of the story.
Yeah.
That's an incredible concept.
Yeah.
And reminding us, you know, that God can use anyone.
Right.
Even those whose society might overlook.
And that's a powerful message, isn't
it?
Yeah, that's right. And the story really gets going when we meet these four lepers. Now, it's important to remember that their condition, while it's called leprosy in the text, was likely something different than what we understand leprosy to be today.
Right, right.
But the point is, these individuals were considered unclean.
Mm-hmm.
They were ostracized, you know, forced to live outside the city walls.
They were facing a pretty grim situation. I mean, you've got the city under siege by the Syrians.
Yeah.
And starvation is looming.
Right.
So these lepers find themselves in this desperate situation, and they decide to take a chance.
Yes. And their reasoning, you know, is almost heartbreaking. They're basically saying, look, we're going to die anyway, so why not see if the enemy might show us some mercy?
Right.
Little did they know that this desperate gamble, this act of desperation, would set off this incredible chain of events.
So they approach the Syrian camp, expecting the worst, and they discover it's completely deserted.
It's deserted.
The Syrians have vanished, leaving everything behind.
Yeah.
What could cause an entire army to just flee like that? I mean, you mentioned something earlier about a sonic illusion.
Precisely. The biblical account tells us that God caused the Syrian army to hear the sounds of a massive army approaching. I mean, just imagine, you're there, you hear this rumble of chariots, the thunder of hooves.
Wow.
This overwhelming sense of dread, impending doom. I mean, you can almost feel it, can't you? It's almost like a historical example of mob mentality.
Right.
Where fear spreads through a group, you know, quickly, leading to completely irrational behavior. And in this case, that fear sent an entire army running for their lives. I mean, they left behind all their supplies, possessions, everything.
It makes you think about how powerful fear can be, but also how dangerous.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Even today, I mean, we see how misinformation and fear, they can spread rapidly, especially with things like social media and how fast things travel now.
Yeah.
That's a sobering thought. But back to our lepers. So they stumble upon this abandoned camp overflowing with food, riches. I mean, what happens next?
Well, at first, they kind of give in to temptation. I mean, picture them, you know, indulging in the feast, hoarding the treasure. They even try to keep the whole thing a secret.
Yeah.
It's very human, isn't it?
It is. It certainly highlights the complexity of human nature. But then they have this change of heart, right? It dawns on them that they can't keep this to themselves. The entire city's starving.
Right. But it is interesting to note that their motives are presented as kind of mixed. I mean, while compassion definitely plays a part, they also seem to be driven by a fear of being caught, you know, hoarding the spoils. It's a reminder that even seemingly good deeds can have, well, complicated motivations.
Right. So they decide to go back and tell the king, which leads us to this stark contrast between the leper's faith and the king's cynicism. I mean, here's this incredible, seemingly miraculous turn of events, and the king refuses to believe it. He's convinced it's some elaborate Syrian trap.
Exactly. And this is where Dr. Oswalt asks a really pointed question. How often do we allow cynicism and doubt to cloud our judgment? You know, preventing us from seeing God's hand at work.
Yeah.
Are we so focused on potential threats, negative possibilities, that we miss out on the signs of hope and provision right in front of us?
Yeah. It's like he can only see what confirms his fears.
Exactly.
But this isn't just about one king's doubts, is it?
It's not.
Dr. Oswalt uses this story to highlight like a pattern of human behavior.
That's right. And he actually highlights another figure in the story, the officer who was in charge of the city gate.
Oh, right.
Remember him?
He would have been responsible for controlling the crowds when they inevitably rushed out to the Syrian camp. Right. And earlier in the narrative, he scoffs at the prophet Elisha's prediction that there would be an abundance of food during the famine.
Right.
He even says something like, even if God opened the windows of heaven, this couldn't happen.
Wow.
Talk about a cynic.
Talk about a cynic.
And what's striking is that this very officer ends up being trampled to death.
Oh, wow.
In the chaos that ensues, when the people do indeed rush out to claim the abundance that he refused to believe in.
It's almost ironic, isn't it?
It's almost like he couldn't see the abundance even when it was predicted.
Yeah.
And then it becomes his undoing.
Yeah.
It really drives home the point that, like, our attitudes and beliefs,
yeah,
they can have real-world consequences.
Absolutely. Our cynicism can literally become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wow.
Dr. Oswald suggests that it not only blinds us to God's work, but can also lead to our own downfall.
So we have these contrasting figures, the cynical king and officer, yeah, consumed by doubt,
yeah,
versus the four lepers who were willing to step out in faith even when it seemed foolish.
And that's a key takeaway from this whole story, wouldn't you say? That God often works through the unexpected and seemingly insignificant.
Right.
He doesn't need powerful people,
right,
or perfect people to achieve his purposes. He just needs those who are open to his leading.
I mean, think about it. If those lepers hadn't been willing to risk everything,
yeah,
the entire city might have perished.
It's true.
They were the unlikely instruments of deliverance.
Mm.
And their story encourages us to consider, are we willing to take those leaps of faith,
oh, yeah,
even when things seem impossible?
The theme of trusting in God, even when circumstances seem dire, it runs through this whole narrative.
Yeah.
We see it juxtaposed with the king's doubt and fear.
Right.
He's so consumed by worry that he can't even recognize the miracle happening right before his very eyes.
It's like he's trapped in this cycle of negativity.
Yeah.
Unable to break free,
mm-hmm,
and embrace the hope that's being offered to him.
And this brings us to one of the most compelling questions that Dr. Oswald poses to his listeners.
Okay.
He asks, what's your choice?
Wow.
Are you going to be someone who's open and trusting,
mm-hmm,
willing to take risks, or are you going to be the cynic?
It makes you stop and think, doesn't it? How are we approaching our own lives?
Mm.
Are we walking with a sense of hopeful expectation?
Yeah.
Believing that God is at work even when we can't see the whole picture?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we letting cynicism and doubt kind of color our outlook?
And this isn't some abstract theological concept. This,
right,
has real world implications for how we live, how we relate to others, how we face challenges.
Dr. Oswald argues that a society built on inner morality,
yes,
inspired by faith, is far stronger than one that relies solely on external rules and laws.
He believes that genuine transformation starts from within.
Great.
With a change of heart, a willingness to trust in something beyond ourselves.
Mm.
It's not just about following rules or going through the motions of good deeds.
Yeah.
It's about cultivating this deeper sense of right and wrong one that's rooted in our faith.
So it's about moving beyond a fear-based approach to life and embracing a more hopeful, faith-driven perspective.
And that's a message that resonates, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It speaks to that desire within us all to find meaning and purpose, to connect with something greater than ourselves.
Dr. Oswald reminds us that we don't have to have all the answers.
Yeah.
We don't have to be perfect. We,
right,
just have to be willing to step out in faith,
mm-hmm,
and trust that God is working even when we don't understand.
It's a powerful encouragement, especially in difficult times, a reminder that there's always reason to hope.
Absolutely. And that hope can be a transformative force both for us as individuals and for the world around us.
Oh, so.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into this incredible story, what has stood out to you? What are you taking away from this exploration of faith, cynicism, and divine intervention?
You know, it's striking to me how the same event, the Syrian army fleeing, is interpreted so differently by the lepers and the king. It really highlights the power of perspective, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The lepers, I mean, they had nothing to lose,
mm-hmm,
right? So they were open to seeing God's hand at work, even in this bizarre situation.
Yeah, right.
They recognized the empty camp as a gift, a sign of divine intervention.
While the king, you know, stuck in his cynicism, he saw only a potential trap. He just couldn't see past his fear and distrust.
And it makes you wonder, you know, how often do we miss those empty camps in our own lives?
Yeah.
Those unexpected blessings or opportunities, because we're so focused on what could go wrong.
That's such a good point. I mean, our perspective really does shape our reality. What we choose to focus on, what we believe, ultimately determines how we experience the world around us.
So if we're constantly, you know, looking for reasons to be cynical, to doubt, to fear the worst, well, that's exactly what we'll find.
Right.
But if we choose to approach life with a sense of openness, you know, a willingness to believe in the possibility of good, even when things are tough, well, our experience might be completely different.
We might even start to recognize those empty camps, those unexpected blessings, those moments of grace that we might otherwise overlook.
And that brings us back to Dr. Oswald's challenge. What kind of people are we going to be?
Right.
Are we going to let cynicism hold us back? Or will we choose to be like those lepers, open to hope, willing to trust, and ready to embrace those unexpected gifts that might be right in front of us?
It's a powerful question, and it goes beyond just interpreting an ancient story, you know.
Right.
It's a question that speaks to how we choose to live our lives today.
And if this deep dive has inspired you to do a little soul searching, to maybe reconsider your own perspective,
mm-hmm.
and to consider the possibility that God might be working in ways you haven't even imagined, well, that's a pretty fantastic outcome.
I couldn't agree more. It's been a pleasure exploring this thought-provoking story with you.
Thanks for joining us on this journey into the heart of an ancient tale that still has so much to say to us today. Until next time, keep asking those questions, keep seeking those deeper truths, and keep your eyes open to the unexpected ways God might be at work in your life.